So God can make you a watcher. To be a watcher, it is where you stand as a guard. The reason why you are a watcher is because there is something important that you are actually having an eye to protect, to safeguard. You cannot watch over something where there is no purpose. Being a watcher is when God sets you up, like how he did with Ezekiel. He said, I am setting you up as a watchman over the house of Israel. So there was a house to watch over. Now, so if God sets you, he can set you as a watcher, a guard. A guard is a person who stands there. And the word watcher or watchman, it comes from a Hebrew word, shoma. And as I said, the word shoma simply means a person who sees with a purpose to watch, identify what's happening, more especially in regards to impending danger. And that type of seeing, it is also known as Ra. R-A-A-H, Ra. Seeing on a purpose to discover the impending danger. And this type of seeing, it is only done by guards or known as watchmen. Their responsibility is to see. If anything happens to my property, you have to answer. Because I employed you here to watch over my property. So when God calls you, he does not just call you to be a believer. The first thing, he makes you to watch over. Now, what could this be? So the first thing that God wants you to watch over, okay, it could be your spiritual life, your personal life. In other words, that's what Apostle Paul wrote Timothy. He said, protect God, that which is in you, with the fear and the trembling. Am I talking to you? He says, God, protect that which is in you with the fear and trembling. Meaning to say, this type of watching, this type of era, you need to have fear. So this is a point where you watch what's happening with my spiritual life lately. Is my love for God like how it was some 2 years ago? What could have happened? What are you doing right there? You are doing a spiritual watching. You are standing on a prophetic tower. At that point, you are receiving intelligence in the spirit by the Holy Ghost. So you are making prophetic assessments. In this hour, when you begin to watch over your life, that is to watch over your life. Am I talking to somebody here? So you're going to be a watcher or a watchman over your personal life. Now, it goes even beyond spiritual life, where you also begin to say, what has been happening with me? And there are some activities happening around you that can ignite the watchtower experience, where you begin to watch what is happening. Some things happening around you is a message from God. Am I talking to you? Some things happening around you is a what? It's a message from God. Things are not just taking place around you. Some of the things happening around you, God is speaking to you. Hello? So you hear God from what's happening when you are a watcher. Some are a watcher. So life, you can be a watcher of your personal life. You can be a watcher of your business. Because business has nothing to do with salvation. Jesus didn't die for your business. He died for your soul. Business is a responsibility God called you into. That's what the book of Genesis chapter 2, scripture tells us that God put a man into the garden to take care of the garden. It's a calling. God can call you into business. He can call you into. We saw that happening with Abraham. Abraham was not called for the pulpit. God didn't call Abraham to be a preacher. There is nobody Abraham went to preach to them and tell them that repent. Jesus or God wants you to repent your sins. There is nobody Abraham was called for. Abraham was called as a businessman. Period. I will make you a great man. That was his calling. Abraham was called to be made great. And that through his greatness, Israel will be born. Am I talking to you? So Abraham was called purely for greatness. He was not a prophet for the pulpit. He was a prophet of greatness. And like other prophets like Isaiah, Isaiah was called for the sins of people. He was called to go and preach. And like Ezekiel, Abraham was a prophet of wealth. God said, I'm calling you for money. So he was called into business to go and change how markets must move, how things must be done, and to show the blueprint of God. I'm talking to somebody right here. So God can call you into such a calling. Now, so God can call you to be a watcher over your business. So over my business. And that's a problem. We have a lot of people doing business right now, and they don't even know that God called them into that business. That's why their businesses are not moving well. Because they're entering into what God called them with human understanding. So I'm here. Until you begin to understand that this business is actually a calling. Because until today, most people do not understand. Because it's only in the prophetic where you begin to know that actually God can call you into business. And nobody will tell you these things. But if you check your Bible, there are people who are called into business. Am I talking to you? God said it. I'm calling Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 45. God says it, that God will make Cyrus do business with the people from different world, different kings, for one purpose. Because God wants him to build a temple in Jerusalem. So God can actually call you into business intentionally because he knows he's going to use your worth to fund his agenda. Come on, someone say, I'm here, prophet. Now, so you can be called Marus Ephrahatah. God can call you to be a watcher. You begin to watch over your business. Because some of the businesses you guys are having are a warfare. The enemy knows that your business is an instrument for the kingdom. So the enemy fights it. He wants to stop you because he knows who you are and what you can do. But you don't know yourself. So you begin to wonder, like, why are my things going down? Why? Why? We know why. Can I go ahead? Yes. All right. So now, if it's not a business, some of you, your jobs is a calling. I gave you an example of Shebina. Shebina, God gave him a job, a top position in the palace. You understand? He didn't know that that position, God had made a door for him to receive a very great position as a chief of staff in the palace. He didn't know it was God's purpose. He was employed by the arrangement of angelic hosts. Divinity was involved over his employment. And some of you have no idea. God can make an arrangement for you to be employed. And when he was employed, he forgot that it was God who made an arrangement. And God said, Shebina, I'm kicking you out on this position. I'm going to bring another one who will take off. And the Bible says, I will remove you like a bow. I'll kick you like a bow. Because the man didn't understand the mission. So we have people right now who are not employed because God understands, they do not understand. It's a calling. So to me, a watcher. Can we go ahead or you're tired? Can we go ahead? So the moment you begin to understand that this life, there's a mission, there's a purpose of you, why you are here, it becomes so simple. But when you are actually wanting money because you are under panic, there's no man at home, a lot of things, it becomes so difficult to get such type of miracles. It was so easy for Peter to catch fish. Very easy. Because his boat was being used. Jesus was using the boat to preach. And when he used his boat, he said, now you can now catch the fish now. And it becomes easy when your business is being used by God to make a prayer and the miracle to happen. It becomes so easy. So God can set you as a watcher over your business. Where you begin to watch. We're going to go into that part. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about this, how to watch over your business. It's a special gate. We're going to look at it as we go. But God can make you to be a watcher. So you watch what's happening with my business. Okay. So you can also be a watcher over your career. I've already mentioned it, and I gave an example of Shebina. You can be a watcher over your church. God can set you up as a watcher, an observer, a guard, a protector. This you can do spiritual or sometimes even physically. They say, no, I will not allow the vision to go down when I'm alive. We have watchers. Now, you may not know. You have just this concern. You don't want anything to happen. Am I talking to you? You just don't want anything. To what? Because God has set you up as a watcher. Now, imagine that since you're a watcher, it means that you have access to see what others don't what? Because you're a guard. When we are sleeping, guards know what's happening outside. Now imagine that you are watching. God says, I want you to start seeing things. Because if you are a watcher over your business, definitely you'll be seeing opportunities where others are not seeing what? That's a watcher in business. You'll be seeing doors when others don't see doors. You'll be seeing what? Grace where others are seeing risks. Am I talking to you? And you'll be seeing a risk where others are seeing what? Opportunities. Because you're a watcher. That's how you become prophetic, because you know you can't be in a prophetic church and you do things by try and error. That's what being prophetic. So when you begin to understand about, okay, I'm a watcher. I watch over what? I watch over my business. I watch over my family, because you can also be a watcher over your family. I told you this. That then you find out that you begin to see things happening to your brothers, your sisters, and you begin to wonder like, oh, my sister's going through that. My brother's going through that. And even sometimes you wonder, but why can't my sister do this? Why can't my brother do this? The reason why you are seeing such type of things is because God has raised you up as a watcher over your family. It's not for you to blame them or to judge them. It is for you either to do something spiritual about it, to pray about it, to fast about it, or sometimes God wants you to be a solution. Are you here? You can also be a watcher of a nation, a country. Now imagine Nehemiah. Nehemiah is far away. And he hears that his relatives are completely destroyed. And that the walls of Jerusalem are completely abandoned. And he never ate. Because the man was a watcher. He says, no, I'm hearing this is happening to my family members. I can't be sleeping here and eating. And he prayed to God, and God gave him favor. And the king gave him all things he needed. He left and went back home with everything he needed. And he built back everything that was lost in his hometown. Because that's what God wants. Sometimes he makes you to see what's happening with your family, because God wants you to be a solution to your family. May you receive money in the name of Jesus. And may you use these resources to help your brothers and your sisters. I speak in the name of Jesus. Your parents, your mother, your cousins, if they'll ever enjoy life, it is because God will use you financially. So you may be set up as a watcher over your family. This family can also include your children. You will begin to pick up to say, this child, something is wrong. It's not just for you to stress. It's for you to act. When you pick something in the church, it's not for you to gossip. It is for you to pray. Hello? So I'm a watcher. So the reason why you are seeing is because God wants you to act. We read the scripture which says, Jesus said, watch and pray that you may not enter into the watch and pray. To watch there is the same word, ra, to see. With intentions to identify the impending what? Danger. The coming danger. It is the same word shoma. To observe what's coming in order to sound an alarm for a reaction to be done to defend what you are actually employed for. So God can hire you to watch over your family, to watch over your finances, to watch over your ministry, your church. But you are not there to gossip. You see, I see people who watch something for their family and then they begin to gossip. I knew about my cousin. Ah, you see that one? I knew it. She's very stubborn. You are behaving like someone who's unprophetic. Are you understanding? Are you hearing this? Can you imagine Joseph when he was betrayed by his own family members, sold to Egypt, and he's in Egypt, and his family, now they're in poverty. They come to Egypt to beg. Imagine if he said, I will revenge now. You guys, you sold me. He said, no. How can my family suffer when I'm alive? He said, go and tell my father to come here. You will relocate all of you and stay with me. And I'll put you at a place called Goshen. And there, you'll be fine. And he went to the king and said, King, I want you to give my brothers jobs. And Joseph gave, and Joseph was a prime minister. He employed all his brothers and gave them good positions. They were getting salary for taking care of their own sheep and animals. You didn't hear me. They were getting salary from the state for taking care. Imagine you've got your own animals. You are taking care of your own animals and you are getting salary from the state because you've got a connection through Joseph, your brother. I'm not talking to you. He took a chase and said, this is me. If people get jobs, it's because you're alive. Can you imagine your sisters, your brothers should be looking for a job that we don't know where to get jobs and you're alive? Somebody said, I'm watching over my time gates. Things are about to shift. Say it again. Things are about to shift. There'll be a twist in the spirit. Am I talking to you? Now, look at that. So let's go ahead. Now, are you still here, right? Are you still here?
Yes.
So you're going to be a watcher. Now, you're going to be a watcher of what? Of your family, your business, your church, your business. Whatsoever, God can set you to be a watcher of your nation, of your city, of leadership. Whatsoever, God can actually put you as a watcher. Now, so God says to Ezekiel, I set you up as a what? Again, God comes to Isaiah. He says, Isaiah, identify a watcher who can watch on your behalf. In Isaiah 21, verse 6. And Isaiah refuses. He says, why should I identify somebody? I am here. And I'm already doing it now. In Isaiah 21, verse 6.
For thus has the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees.
You understand? So God wants Isaiah to identify somebody who should start watching. And yet with Ezekiel, God says, you, I'm setting you up. Isaiah said, no. Why are you jumping? Why should I find a person to watch when I'm alive? In verse 8, he responds. That's verse 6. God is telling him to find somebody. In verse 8, he answers. What's the answer?
Then he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually on the watchtower.
Exactly.
In the daytime. I have sat at my post every night.
Do you understand? No, you're not getting it. What is he saying? He says, I'm already on my watchtower. What you are telling me to tell somebody to do it, I'm already doing it. And I'm not just doing it. See, I'm standing on my post. And I'm doing it day, and I'm doing it at night. I'm watching. And how I'm doing it like a lion. That if anything happens, I will attack. I'm trying to talk to somebody right here. So he says, I will not give another person to watch on my behalf. I am watching. God says, now we are talking. We will no longer involve another person. So this is between me and you. So Isaiah says, yes, sir. We're not getting another person. He said, fine, you and me. We'll begin to watch. God says, I. Are you there? Because God is a watcher. We saw that in Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it in vain. And unless the Lord guards
the house,
the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
In vain.
Am I talking to you? So if you are watching and God is not involved in your watching, you're watching in vain. That's why Apostle Paul said what? Our ability is of God. Our watching is of God. Hallelujah. So now you're watching right now. Look at your life. What's happening? Now we're going to do that. We'll do that exercise as we go. We haven't even gotten to that level. But I want you to look at your life. Watch around. You will see a lot of things happening. What did you do? When you saw what is happening around you, what did you use? What you saw? Because definitely, if you watched something, it was not you thinking. God had given you the grace of putting you at a place to watch. And in the prophetic ministry, a position where you stand to watch, it is known as the watchtower. See, A tower in the spirit does not mean a building. It means a spiritual elevated place where when you stand there, you're able to see. That's when the book of Revelation, God speaks how he will destroy the towers of Babylon. Because there are towers of Babylon in the spirit which still exist. If they didn't exist in the book of Revelation, they couldn't be mentioned. But the Bible says God will bring them down. Because there are systems that are elevated. And these systems are watching over us. When they see you rising, they bring you down. They are elevated systems where they also watch. Now imagine you're not watching and they're watching you. Scripture says, seeking whom to devour. He's all over, watching, all over. Who is next in this family to be great? And they stop you. Who's next in this ministry? Suppose they stop you. So he's all over. And that's why spiritual life is warfare. That's why the one who wins in the battlefield is he who sees the opponent. If you go to the battlefield and you're fighting, you're shooting, you have got enemies, and there are soldiers the other side, and soldiers the other side, the one that wins is the one who sees you. My friend, you have a gun like this, you're moving like this, you don't even see anyone. And they are looking at you. And they have got snipers. The one who now imagine they're looking at you like this. That's why every time they're sniping at you. And you are seeing nothing. But this teaching helps you now to understand. To say, okay, what I mean? What's going on over my family? What's going on over my finances? Now you're able to see. Now you will shoot before the enemy shoots. So with me, I'm dangerous. So, and my gun does not miss. So one shot. Down. Hallelujah. So Isaiah is being taught. I like this part. He says, find a watchman. He says, no. I'm already doing it. You don't need anyone else. I'm watching day and night. So as I said, the position where you sit to watch, it is known as what? The watchtower. A watchtower, it is not a building. It's a spiritual elevated area. Demons can watch you from a watchtower. Wherever a person is or an entity is using to watch you in the spirit, it is known as a watchtower. It can be used by you or the enemy can also raise their own towers. Are you understanding? Now, so God sometimes by his grace, by the Holy Ghost, he begins to speak to you. You say, you see there? There is a problem. Do you see there? There is a problem. At that point, whenever you feel that moment, it's not the devil speaking. It is God showing you to say, watch. There is that. Watch. What happens? The devil comes in and says to you, you see the things you are seeing right there? People hate you. There are problems. Now he manipulates what you are seeing on your watchtower. Instead of you to use it as divine intelligence, you begin to use it as something to stress about. Hello? So what you are supposed to use to pray, it's not being used to destroy you. Now you're saying, I need tablets now. I need tablets of depression. I'm passing through a lot. Shut up. You are seeing it so that you can act. You should stand up now and say, I have seen it. There is sabotage in my life. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right here. There's a demonic tampering. My destiny is being tampered. There is a play somewhere. There are satanic agents in the realms of the spirit trying to stop me from getting into my destiny. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I command you out of my children, out of my finances, out of my career, out in the name of Jesus. That's what God is expecting you to do. Are you here? So, when we get into this point now, you can't just be a watchman who's just moving in the streets. There are positions where God positions you. God can position you to make this watching on the wall. And you can also be positioned on a tower. Or you can also be positioned at the gate. Watchmen are found on these three places. It's either a watchman will be standing at the gate or protecting on the walls, or they are on the towers. That's where watchmen are found. Hello? And these gates could be the gates of time. These gates could be bloodline gates. These gates could be territorial. We'll look at territorial gate maybe on Friday. You cannot cross from one country to another country without finding a border. On that border, there is a gate. The reason why some people are failing to break through is because their territory, there is a gate. And the one standing there is a demon. And you have been told you are limited, you will not pass here. That's why the territorial gates are supposed to be controlled by you and not by your enemy, because he decides your fate. God can put you on a tower, and on the towers, we also have got different types of towers. And we've got different types of wars. Wars are not the same. Some are electric. So yesterday we began to look at one, which is what? The gate of time. So God can put you at the gate. Gate of time. Listen to me. Time is so spiritual. Can I say this again?
Yes.
Time is what?
So spiritual.
Time is so spiritual than you think. This is why he who controls time controls your destiny. You didn't hear me again. He who controls, controls. Now, imagine this. Imagine this. That, okay, let me put it this way. Scripture says that Jesus Christ, he was asked a question, when is the time when you'll come back? Then they were taught, it's not up to you to understand the times of God. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you following or you're home?
I'm following.
Okay. Because of time, we want to read that scripture. But I want you to get this information, all right? It's in the book of Acts chapter 1, okay? Listen. Jesus several times refused to perform a miracle. And he said it clear. My time has not yet come. Because what will usher Jesus into ministry will be time. So what will make Jesus enter into ministry? It's time. What is the gate of his ministry? Time. So time is a gate, because when your time comes, you must jump in. The man who was at the pool of Bethesda, he said there is a specific time an angel comes. When he stirs the water, the person who go in gets the healing. Hello? So in the spirit, time becomes a gate. God spoke to Abraham. He said, your descendants will become slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. After 400 years, they'll come back. Are you there? So the gate of the people of Israel from Egypt was what? Time. No matter how they cried in the 200 years, we won't deliver us. Oh, we are suffering. There will be no deliverance, because their time is supposed to be what? 400 years. Their deliverance was waiting for 400 years. So their gate to come out was time. Jesus Christ himself, when he died on the cross, he even said, on the third day, I will what? I will resurrect. So the gate of Jesus' resurrection was what? Time. And what was time? 3 days. Are you here? So he was in the grave when he was being killed. People were crying. Why can't God just make him rise from that cross? That was not the gate of time. The gate of time was what? 3 days. So where you are, there is a gate of time to say, at this time, this woman will be here. At this time, this man will be there. At this time, this family will be there. But now the problem is, when the enemy now controls your time gate, that's where some of you, 10 years ago, you were supposed to be far, but you are still where you are until now. In fact, your life is even worse, because you are not controlling your gate of time. Some here. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody right here. If I'm talking to you, raise up your hands. I'm listening. Are you here? Because everything moves in time. Scripture says, when time had fully come. In Galatians 4, verse 4. Can you read it for me? It says what?
But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law.
In NIV, read it.
But when the said time had fully come.
Exactly.
God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law.
So Jesus was not, he didn't just appear. No, it was the same time. There was the gate of Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. It was the time. What would make Jesus appear in the flesh was what? Time. What will make you become somebody is what? Time. Now the problem is, who controls your time? Now look at this. So when Jesus was born, boom, he's born. Same day, what happened? Herod commanded that all kids must be killed. There was someone at the same gate of time, willing to kill what was born. Now imagine you, your miracle has been born at your time, and someone is setting up to kill what has been born. And you have got no idea. We thank God, because angels came and told Joseph to say, run away from this area. That is what we call intelligence. In other words, Joseph was watching. Come on, I'm hearing you, prophet, now. Amen. Say with me, now makes sense. If Joseph did not watch, what could have happened over the miracle that came on the set time? So you see a contract coming and nothing is happening. We have a lot of people right now who their miracle is just like, oh, this one, I've been waiting for this one. Until now, I've been waiting for it until it dies. Because somebody is controlling your time gets. Say with me, I'm standing in charge.
This is not just a declaration.
This is warfare. Whatsoever has been standing on my target, I eliminate you. Be evicted. I command you out. This is my decision. So shall it be. In the name of Jesus. So we have people right now who do not know that there are things to happen in time. So because you don't control your time, things, the enemy now is messing up like this. And the biggest spirit that stands, in fact, there are three spirits. The biggest three spirits, strongest three spirits that normally stand at the gate of time are the following. One, the demon of delay. Oh my God. The demon of what?
Delay.
What was supposed to be done is not happening. For you to know that there's a delay in your life, it's not just one thing that delays. It can make sense if it's only one area where there's a delay. But look around. Looks like almost everything about you is just a delay. That's how you notice when you are standing on the watchtower, you begin to ask yourself a question. Is it the first time a delay is happening? No. It has been happening around me. Now I am on the watchtower. I have discovered there's a spirit of delay the enemy has employed to deal with me. Now I refuse to lose and to be defeated. I challenge this spirit at the time gate. I command every delay, come out. I stand on my position. What is supposed to be done to me? What is supposed to be done to my family? What is supposed to be done to my ministry? What is supposed to be done to my calling? Happen now. I command you, happen now. So now, somebody say, time gets. Now, get this. So now, when you look at the time, now I looked at you and I told you this yesterday. I said, before I speak about that, the first spirit is a demon of what?
Delay.
The second spirit is a demon of stagnation. There are things which we're supposed to find them or to have them, but they are stagnant until today. Two, the demon of stagnation. Most of you, your life is, your calling is stagnant. Your ministry is stagnant. Your things are stagnant. And number three, it is the spirit of almost. I almost won the competition. Do you know what's happening around you? You are dealing with a spirit. Spirit of almost. I almost did it. I almost got married. It's just almost. Your life is almost. These spirits, they control gates of time. These are the demons which appeared during the prayer of Daniel when he prayed that we have been in exile in Persia for 70 years, which God had predicted that they'll be in Persia, they'll be in exile for 70 years. And after 70 years, they'll go back to Jerusalem. But when the time of 70 years elapsed, they were still under slavery. The king now was even becoming more stubborn. From nowhere, you're not going anywhere. The same way in Egypt, when their time of prophecy was fulfilled, the king now was becoming what? Stubborn. There was a spirit on their time gate. The Bible says this king knew nothing of Joseph. Am I talking to you? From nowhere, that's what happens. When you have prayed, you have given, you have a prophecy that this will happen at your time, that's when the Satan now becomes so stubborn. No wonder all the people in the Bible who had prophecy, when they're about to break through, that's when Satan was becoming, or the king, or anyone else was becoming very stubborn against them. Because it was all about the control of the gate of time. The enemy said, we know it is predicted that this is the attempt to be delivered. The king of Persia became even more stubborn. You're not going to go anywhere. And the Bible says Daniel understood by the books that Jeremiah had prophesied that their time would be 70 years. And the 70 years had passed. So he said, God, you spoke about this and now it's over 70 years. As he was praying, an angel was dispatched from heaven. As the angel was coming, the Bible says the demon of Persia stood that angel and said, you're not going to go. Because I don't want them to be delivered. That spirit was standing at the gate of Daniel. But Daniel handled him. I pray tonight, whatsoever has been standing over your gates of time, through a demon of almost, the demon of stagnation, I command, in the name of Jesus, through whatsoever demon of delay, they are coming out now. I usher you into your time. Say, in the name of Jesus, so shall it be. The Bible says, I shall restore to you the years. I shall restore unto you the years which the caterpillars had eaten. The palm worm, the canker worm, whatsoever the worms ate, not your items, not your money, but what the years, your time, what you're supposed to do in those years, the enemy has captured. Say with the holy anger, say, I rebuke you, Satan.
I rebuke you,
Satan. Say it again, say,
I rebuke you, Satan.
Now, I told you on the entry points of time. Entry points of time, as I spoke to you and I gave you scriptures, I gave you midnight. I said to you, midnight is for warfare. If you want to handle Satan, if you want to handle your gate as a watcher, if you watch something that is, there's a battle, one of these midnights, wake up at night and handle your gate. Control your gate. Speak in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever is on my gate of time, I command you, come out. Wage war. Midnight is so good for warfare. And I told you this, that midnight is not midnight in Asia. Your midnight is not midnight in Europe. However, your midnight which God created in your time zone, it is your midnight. Am I talking to you right? Wage war. Because you are dealing with the spirits of your region. And the spirits of your region, they know your midnight as your midnight. So I'm here. How many understanding now their life? What's going on? Now, how many understanding now to say, now I think I'm getting it. I want to see a hand up of anyone else who says, I know what's going on now. Now my eyes are opening. Now my faith can be used properly. I will handle this enemy. So I told you that midnight is a very prophetic time. In the morning at 6, it's very important because it's a time when we renew our covenant with God. Wake up in the morning and speak statements. God said, I am healed. God said, I am more than a conqueror. Recite scriptures, his promises, speak them. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. Am I talking to you? Can two walk together unless they agree? Agree with God that morning. Speak because you are a woman of covenant. You are a man of covenant. Am I talking to you? You are a woman of covenant. Listen to me. It's very, very important. I spoke to you about 3 a.m. in the morning. It's a very good moment. We call it, in the prophetic, we call it the time portal of revelation. This moment, are you there? It's like water. It's not a teaching on tissue, but I just want to tell you. Water is very spiritual. That's why you see so many people, when they're taking a shower, they start singing from nowhere. It's a story of another day. Birthdays, a birthday is a portal. If Satan wants to stop your time, he will come on your birthday and attack you spiritually. Because Your years, when you are adding a year, you are adding a certain mission or commission. Years in the spirit are not just years. I don't want to teach about years today. But your birthday is so spiritual. That's why your birthday is a moment of renewal. Okay? God can start with you all over again. Your life, you can forget about your past. At the very same time, Satan can attack you. That's why your birthdays make them more prophetic and more prayerful than you make them as a ceremony. Should you celebrate your birthday? Of course. But I'm just saying that on your birthday, understand this, that there is warfare. Either from that day of your birthday moving forward, your life becomes more poorer or your life becomes richer. Not the two. They don't go together. So mark your birthdays as a place of renewal, spiritual awakening, financial awakening. Speak and declare, I will not suffer in this new season. Make serious prayers on your birthday. You will see in that year that you add, you will never suffer again. Year crossing, which you call crossover. I'm not talking about when we gather there in Malawi, we gather, people come from. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that year crossing. What happens at that moment when you're moving from one year to another year is so spiritual. Check what happens in Israel. They don't just cross into their new year. They start preparing for the year for 21 days before they enter into another year. And they're always in holy prayers. Am I talking to you? They're always in what? They're in prayers. They will not just enter into their year. No. Check it for it up. The whole Israel. Because it's a season when God makes decisions of people's destinies. So whenever you're crossing a year, that's why we say we have got a crossover. And we make declarations. We make prayers. We pray for people because that moment is so spiritual. But it happens also that we have got people in our midst who don't even know that what's happening is spiritual. And they go back home the same way they came. Because they don't know that it's actually the time gate. That moment is a time gate. Something can come in or something can come out. Are you here right? Mm-hmm. So I've just given little times. There are a lot of times. We've got the new moon. I told you that the new moon is not just a moment. When you have a new moon over there, read your scripture, what the Bible says about the new moon. Okay? In the New Testament, there was a conflict where they were saying, should we put a new moon as a law? And they said, no. Let's not use a new moon as a law. So they removed new moon as a law, but not as a prophetic happening. Am I talking to somebody right here? So they wanted to use the new moon as a law to say everyone else must be observing new moon. So scripture says, no. Those who want to observe, let them do so. And those who don't, let them not. In the New Testament. So it does not mean that they removed it as a prophetic happening. It's not removed. Because most people, I understand most of you, most people, you know, grew up with different doctrines, more especially the Pentecostal, which is one of the powerful doctrines, and I respect them. But prophetic ministry is different. Are you there? Yes. Prophetic ministry is what? Different. That's why Apostle Paul went to a prophet, not once, several times, and the prophet said, listen, you will be arrested in Jerusalem. Apostle Paul said, what? And Apostle Paul didn't listen to a prophet. And when he went to Jerusalem, he was arrested as the prophet spoke. So you see that there's kind of like different missions. How God, what God puts in Pentecostalism is not the same mission in the prophetic. However, we have got people who are in the prophetic, but they're also charismatic. We also have got people in the Pentecostal, but they are prophetic. which is a powerful thing. So when we're speaking of these things, and I want you to get this teaching properly, because this teaching will help you. When you say in the name of Jesus, you will be knowing where you are standing. When you say, I stop the enemy, you will be knowing exactly. That's why faith cannot work in ignorance. What have I said? It can't. Imagine you're believing things which you don't even know. But when you know what you're doing, when you say in the name of Jesus, you will now know. When you say, stop, you will know what you're talking about.